but one man died and the other lived. And now, seated at this hilltop bench, I've got the chance to find out from Robert Bugookie why you do it. Why some people need to lose themselves in the wilderness in order to feel found and are willing to gamble their one crack at life to do so.
Squirrel?
Mm-hmm.
So, recording.
Up until now, all I've really known about Robert is that he's from a pretty wealthy family in California, and his Catholic faith is important to him. I've noticed that he's got a sharp mind that is better suited to debate rather than small talk. And it turns out he's always had a contrarian streak.
Do you remember, like, when you were a teenager, were you rebellious at all?
In what way?
In your behaviour, in following social norms and your parents' rules and so on.
I questioned everything, if that's what you mean.
Question authority?
Yeah, and pretty much every authority is not appreciative of your questions, except for the ultimate authority, which I think is God, and he's okay with it.
Robert sounds like he would have been a very bright, but maybe argumentative kid in class. So it checks out that as he reached adolescence, he began to feel disillusioned with the organized religion that he'd been raised with.
Were you lacking a feeling of peace, do you think?
That's a good way to put it, but you don't know that. You're just agitated, right? Society is not going to save itself. I think it's got its own, you know, downfall coming.
Robert had a lot going for him. He was from a close-knit family, and he got into a prestigious university. But the whole time, he was wrestling with a pervasive sense of despair. To him, society felt shallow and greedy and headed in a bad direction, and God seemed to be missing in action. So he wanted to feel vividly the presence of a higher power.
The original idea, I think, was to somehow bring God down to earth or have a relationship with this God of this religion I grew up with.
There's a long history of humans seeking spiritual strength through fasting and physical deprivation. And it was in 1999, as Robert and Janet cycled around Australia, that Robert's opportunity came to test whether God would keep him alive.
The initial intention was to just find a place in the middle of the desert just to sit for a week and fast at that point and contemplate the universe. Whether I lived or not, I will be, you know, unsatisfied with this life if I don't do it. Let's test this theory and see what happens.
Robert's mind is made up. He will find the emptiest and most isolated patch of land in Australia and go into it alone, to deny his body food and water for as long as it takes to find clarity. He doesn't want to die, but he's okay with the fact that he might.
That is a really high stakes thing to do, isn't it?
You say it's high stakes and like it's a big, you know, gamble or something, but really it just, you know, became, I need to do this.
8 months into their trip, Janet decides to fly home to the States, and Robert begins to prepare, going without water for days at a time and spending a week alone, fasting at Uluru. It's now or never. From a dusty phone box on the edge of the desert, he rings Janet and tells her he's heading inland alone for 6 weeks. And she gives her blessing.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have been able to go through that if I hadn't felt her vote of confidence, because I wasn't going to hear it from my parents.
Still, he whips off a brief postcard to his parents, letting them know that he'll be out of contact. And then Robert, who's been thinking about doing this ever since he was a teenager, he plunges into the desert. He's 33 years old, and in his words...
Full of piss and vinegar, so you got something to prove to yourself.
As he begins his long walk, the distractions drop away, and there's so much time to observe the landscape, and so much time to think. A couple of times during that first week, Robert finds himself overcome with emotion, realizing he's kept the people who love him, his parents and Janet, at arm's length. At one point, he collapses to the hot sand, sobbing uncontrollably, a mix of grief and elation that God has helped him to this realization. But as the days go on, Robert finds his rhythm, and he starts to feel a deep connection to the landscape, noticing minute changes as he slowly, steadily treks inland.
You stop thinking about what you left behind. You stop playing songs in your head. Every maybe 3, 4, or 5 days, you would see a little bit of a change in the color of the sand or the bushes and trees that were growing.
After the third day, Robert stops eating. He keeps walking under the burning sun in the intense heat, and he finds ways to try to ease the discomfort, burying himself in the depths of the sand.
I was just trying to cool off, and I would dig down past the hot sand to the cool sand and throw it all over myself every day in the middle of the day.
I get the feeling Robert almost enjoyed the physical pain of fasting and pushing his body in this extreme environment. It was evidence of progress, of growth.
A lot of survival is dropping the mirror, dropping the microphone, dropping the camera, and not watching yourself selfie stick. Here I am out here walking through the woods. It's part of letting go of the ego. That's all attached to the ego, and, you know, you've got to drop all that and just be out there.
The mental clutter falls away as he focuses on the next step and the next sand dune. It's like his mind and body are in sync with the natural world for the first time.
I had feelings out there in the desert, too, that my spirit has wanted to do this thing for a long time, longer than a lifetime. These are age-old questions to answer. A good analogy would be stripping the bark off the tree, because you just want to strip off all of your parts and get down to the essence and find out what that essence is. Find out your basic self.
I feel like this is something a lot of people aspire to find clarity and a clearer sense of self and a feeling of well-being. You only have to look at Instagram to see how preoccupied we all are with it. But most of us who feel a bit lost might opt for a yoga retreat rather than anything this extreme. While Robert's speaking with me, he holds his body still, his brow furrowing and his eyes casting across the vast valley below. I like him, and I feel like I'm starting to understand him better, but Robert's not the easiest person to interview. I think it's because more than most people, he thinks carefully about what he wants to say and the best way to say it, and he pauses, chewing over the idea at hand, sometimes asking me a question about my question before answering. Robert doesn't just tell you what you want to hear, and I respect that. I'm a bit of a people pleaser, and so I kind of envy the way that he doesn't feel obliged to deliver a simple, easy answer to everything.
There you go. He's got a mushroom in his mouth.
This is now a squirrel that's running around with a big chunky mushroom in his face. Never a dull moment.
Once the squirrel's gone, I ask Robert what the hardest thing was about those long, hot days in the Great Sandy Desert. And he says it wasn't the searing heat or the blasting wind or the throat so parched that it was hard to swallow. The worst thing, he says, the demon that stalked him in the desert was despair.
And despair is the bottomless pit as far as I'm concerned. Everything will say, you know, you don't have food, you don't have water, you're in the middle of a desert, what are you going to do? That's when you just say, well, I'm not in control. I might not do anything.
I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about everyone. We all like to feel in control of ourselves and our environment. What was your experience of losing control?
That happened pretty quick. It was all humble pie after that. It was, whatever you want to do, God, I'm down with it. I'm not in control.
By this point, Robert's deliberately pushing back against all of his body's hardwired instincts to survive, the urge to turn back towards safety, to eat the brightly coloured flowers that shimmer on the desert trees. It's a discipline of mind, a determination that I know I don't have. And to be honest, I'm not sure that I'd want. After 20 days of walking, mentally and physically exhausted,
Robert comes to a kind of natural sand bowl, a calm, sheltered space that seems like a sanctuary for his battered shell of a body. He feels like it's God's will for him to stop here, to sit quietly in contemplation.
All kinds of self-consciousness just dropped. So it was just a sit there and look at nature. I did not know that your relationship with the world could be so, I don't know, internal. Whereas your molecules and their molecules are really part of the same world universe and whatever you want to call it, existence.
Which is something that indigenous cultures and people have known forever, really, isn't it?
I think the knowledge has just been darkened by selfishness throughout the ages, where now we're in the modern world where you're not in tune to that at all.
For 7 days, Robert sits there, not speaking, not eating, not drinking. And he describes a kind of elation and a feeling of peace.
Clarity of mind seems to be a pretty common thing that comes to you after you realize that you're not going to die from not eating. I think it's just the body preparing itself. You know, I'm not part of this world anymore. Part of the thing you learn being out fasting in the wilds is that you don't have that pressure and you don't need that pressure. Life living for its own sake is fulfilling. You have to remember that your life is only a short blip on the millennial scale.
Is that a thought that makes you feel good, or is that a thought that can be scary or depressing?
You could see it either way. I use that thought to keep perspective.
After a week in the sand bowl, Robert feels calm and refreshed and at peace. He feels God has been with him on this grueling journey and has tested him with moments of despair and revealed himself in times of silence. His body is feeling the strain of dehydration and malnutrition, but he's still alive when the conventional wisdom is that he should be dead. But still, Robert feels no desire to turn back. Instead, he resumes his journey, walking deeper and deeper into the desert. Why stop now? His original intention had been to emerge near the town of Fitzroy Crossing, and according to his map, he was on track to make it in another couple of weeks. Within a few days, on his 40th day in the desert, Robert reaches the Edgar Ranges. It's a cluster of gorges and cliff drops, a veritable oasis of shade, and potentially even puddles of water. But Robert's physical state is deteriorating rapidly. His skin now stretched across the bone in places, no padding, no insulation, a body starting to give way under the sustained strain of malnutrition. By this point, according to Robert, he's gone 4 weeks without food and 12 days without water. That's 4 times longer than what the survival guides advise a person can go.
I remember walking down the creek and just resting from rock to rock that I could lean on. You've had long enough here, go to the next rock. Autopilot, I guess. I did have to make the decisions, but the body just kept moving.
And it's not just his body. His brain is foggy, the high-powered organ starved of nutrients and moisture, now struggling to function.
I had been fasting for 6 weeks and had no water, and what that does to a body is like insulation from emotion and thought as well. I mean, thoughts take a while to soak in when you're in that state.
As Robert picks carefully through the rocky entrance to the Edgar Ranges, he's becoming too weak to carry the handful of belongings that he's brought along the entire 400-kilometre journey. He will leave them here, he decides. The blue tarpaulin, the water bottles, and the Bible.
And boy, the people, when they found that Bible, they're like, oh, he's giving up, oh my God, and he thinks it's the end of the world. My answer was, it was too heavy. And I don't even know if that answer sunk in, but people want to see what they want to see. I'm not going to get in their way.
Robert doesn't know that the searchers are closing in on him. They're now less than 10 kilometres away. The Americans, with their dogs in handmade leather booties and the entourage of media helicopters. Then, on day 42, after almost 6 weeks alone in the desert, after willingly putting his life on the line for this journey, something changes, and Robert carefully lays rocks out on the ground, spelling out the word help. But even as he's doing it, he's not sure he really wants to be rescued. I find this a bit confusing. Going into the desert on purpose, then laying out a sign asking for help, and to this day saying he didn't really want rescuing anyway. But it's worth keeping in mind that Robert's brain was starved, and he was on an extreme spiritual and personal journey that was evolving. And throughout it all, he believes it's God who's in control anyway. And according to Robert, there's something else going on. A final demon he's been grappling with that still needs to be conquered. His ego.
It's insidious. That ego, it hides in just about every little cranny that you can imagine in your mind.
The ingrained pride that quietly whispers in his ear that it would be embarrassing to turn back and shameful to ask for help.
That would be like saying, I've failed. And then I said, well, that's ridiculous. It's not failing. You're afraid to let people in. You need to do something about your fear.
Robert had stared down his inner demons, and this final one felt important. To be vulnerable, to accept help.
The whole trip was facing your fear. Now here's this other fear, so why don't you just go ahead and make a help sign and get over it?
Even during his final few hours in the desert, Robert's weary brain chews over whether to take the help sign down. But he leaves it. Throughout the interview, Robert seemed reluctant to admit that his body was failing and that he was close to death. He talks about how he'd found water on that final day and how he would have been in good enough health to walk out. And he doesn't like the word rescued because it implies that he would have otherwise died. But then he says something that reveals his vulnerability, that he was afraid to die.
It's natural to be afraid of death. You know, everybody comes to grips with it eventually. I just happened to do it as a healthy 33-year-old instead of waiting till I was 99 years old.
So there he now lays, in the cool, shady base of a rocky gully, sipping manky water he scooped from a puddle, and thinking about that pesky help sign and how hard the rock feels under his emaciated frame of a body. Robert's got no idea that just a few kilometres away, a cascading series of events is occurring that will wrench him from this peaceful place of physical pain and plunge him back into the noisy, opinionated world that he was so keen to escape. Ahead on the next episode of Expanse, Nowhere Man, Robert Baguki's about to find out that sometimes being lost is easier than being found.
He emerged from the bush into the arms of a media maelstrom.
And that's when I heard the shout, he's been found, he's been found.
We were going to sit around there just talking with our thumbs up our butts.
And it was an extremely irresponsible thing for him to do.
And a carload of people went by and yelled out the window, who's going to pay Baguki's holiday?
I'm Erin Park, host and producer. Grant Walter is on sound design and production. Pia Wersu is supervising producer, and Edwina Farley is executive producer. This podcast was recorded on Yaru land. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.
Deeply insightful.
An hour.
1 hour. Deeply personal.
Two mics.
Two microphones.
4 watts. Going at the same time, one for each hand.
Can you murder him, please?
Hey, what?
Unforgettable stories.
We got hit by a wave and I was just in this sort of penumbra of bubbles, this world of fizz.
And it was very beautiful.
I didn't notice that I was drowning.
Hear the latest from Conversations. Find it on the ABC Listen app.